Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos is Ayin. Yosef Hashem, today we're going to be finishing the seventh parak of the Masechta, short parak, and then we're going to begin the eighth parak of the Masechta. We have a ways to go to finish up that that seventh parak. Let's get underway. We are at the Mishnah on the very bottom of Samech Tes Med Aleph, and the seventh parak of Yevamos is dedicated to one topic, and that is entitlements to eat truma. Who is entitled to eat truma, and who cannot eat truma? So within the basics, so as we've discussed already a number of times since we started the Masechta just 3 days ago, so a Kohen obviously has the rights and entitlements to eat Truma. Not all Kohanim. That is going to be the beginning of the eighth parak. In the eighth parak, we're going to talk about the Kohanim themselves who are going to be restricted from eating Truma. But as a Kohen, as a card-carrying member of the Shevet Levi, but specifically to be a Kohen, so you are afforded the right and the ability to eat Truma. You have to eat in a state of Tahara. Actually, we're going to be discussing that also in the beginning of the eighth parak. But anyway, who else can eat Truma? So all the Kinyan Kaspo, all the acquisitions of the Kohen, which would include his wife, it would include his Eved Kanani, his Shifcha Kanani, so they can eat Truma as well. Also, children of Kohanim can eat Truma as well, which seems to be a pretty obvious statement because you know what the children of Kohanim are. They're Kohanim. But as we're going to be seeing very clearly in our upcoming Mishnah, not only can the children of Kohanim eat Truma, but they could also be Machil as well. They can also afford their parents to eat Truma, specifically their mother to eat Truma, or as we're going to be seeing in our Mishnah, even their grandmother, they're going to afford the right and the ability to eat Truma. Let's get underway. The Mishnah. We're on Samech Tes Amud Aleph, we're all the way on the bottom of the Amud, two lines from the bottom, we're starting with the Mishnah. Ha'onis v'amefata v'ashote lo posim lo machilin. So if I have a case of rachmanis and ones, right, a man's ma'anis a woman, a Kohen's ma'anis a woman, or pitui, or shote. So in all these cases, lo posim, so they do not disqualify, meaning she does not become a chalala or a zona from that act. I'll explain that better in just a moment. And v'lo machilin, and also they're not entitled to eat. Now, the second point is easier to explain, much easier to explain. They're not entitled to eat. You know why? Because they're not kinyanim. Meaning the only one who is allowed to eat is a kinyan kaspo. Over here, if a kohen is ma'anis a woman or a mefata woman, either he rapes or seduces a woman, so that does not create issues. It doesn't create a marriage between them. And so she is not kinyan kaspo. Kinyan kaspo is where he's mekadisher. And with through that act of kedusha, now she is a kinyan. So under those circumstances, she's allowed to eat truma. But if he's ma'anis or mefata her, so that's not a kinyan. Similarly, with a shota does not create a kinyan. Because again, in order to create a kinyan of ishus, you need das, you need the requisite knowledge. And over here, if you have a shota, so he does not have the basic das in order to be able to achieve a kinyan. And therefore, even though he has relations with a woman, she will not be entitled to eat truma. Okay. That's the lo machilin. What about lo poslin? So lo poslin means that despite the fact now that this woman had relations with a man who was not her husband, she will not be disqualified from eating truma. Why? Because what would make her a chalala? If, let's say, for example, was a prohibited union, like a kares or a lav, like we discussed already in yesterday's daf at length, that will make her a chalala or slash a zona. But over here, if he was ma'aniser, so that will not render her a chalala. Now, Tosfos points out over here on the very bottom of the Amud, what about the Shita Rebbe Elazar? The Shita Rebbe Elazar, which we heard already a number of times, as recently as, about a little over a week ago, but the Shita Rebbe Elazar is that Panu Ebal Panuya. So she becomes a zona, just a single man, single woman, and they have relations outside of marriage, so that will render her a zona. So Tosfos points out over here, that it could be, well, you could simply say that our Mishnah is not following the Shita Rebbe Elazar. And in fact, the Gemara already told us the Halacha is not like Rebbe Elazar, and she is not a Zona. But you could say that our Mishnah is going even like the Shita Rebbe Elazar. See the bottom Tosfos over here, short Tosfos, but definitely requires a lot of clarification how our Mishnah could even be going like the Shita Rebbe Elazar. Anyway, the V'im Einan Ru'uyim Lavo B'Yisrael, we're back in the Mishnah. Now, V'im Einan Ru'uyim Lavo B'Yisrael Harei Elo Poslin. But if they're not royal of Yisrael, so then they're going to be a postal. Meaning, if the union between this man and this woman is a prohibited one, so that's a postal. That's going to disqualify. So, Ketzah, so I'll give you an example. Mishnah spells it out over here. Yisrael Shaba Abbas Kohen Tocha B'Truma. Where if a Yisrael has relations with a Bas Kohen, she can go ahead and continue to eat the Truma. Meaning, if a Yisrael is either Ma'anis or Mefata, a woman. and it wasn't L'shem Kedushin, so that's not going to disqualify her. Okay? No, she's not his Kenyan, and she can continue to eat her father's Truma. Ibra, now let's say that she becomes pregnant, so now Lo Sochel, now she can't eat Truma. Now, why can't she eat Truma in the state of pregnancy? So we established already. When can she go back to her father's house? That's only Kinnu Ureha. That's only when she's in her original state. But over here, she's no longer in her original state. She's now pregnant. So now she is banned from eating Truma. Now, Nechtacha Ubar B'meyaha Tochel. Now, the Mishnah over here is really graphic. The Mishnah goes on to describe where, let's say, she miscarried, aborted. In other words, the pregnancy terminated. Okay, we're not litigating whether you are or not allowed to terminate the pregnancy. We're just simply describing right now what happens to her legabe truma. So once the pregnancy terminates, so now she can go ahead and she can resume truma. And Rashi says, it goes without saying, that if, let's say, the pregnancy concludes with a baby, so then she can go back to eating the truma. She had a baby from a Yisrael, yeah, but that was not in the context of marriage. So she can go back and she can eat truma. Hiya, Kohen Shabbat Bas Yisrael. Now we're just going to do this in the other direction, where you have a Kohen who has relations with a Jewish woman, with a Bas Yisrael, lo socha b'truma. So she's not allowed to eat truma. Aye, but she had relations with a Kohen, yeah, but they weren't married. Again, the entitlement to eat truma is only when you're king and kospo. Over here, the Kohen either violates her or seduces her, so that's not going to entitle her to eat truma. Ibra lo socha. Now, let's say she had a baby lo socha. She can't eat truma. Yalda tocha. Now, if let's say she has a baby, so now it's really interesting. She's not married to a Kohen, and meanwhile, the baby is a Bas Kohen or a Ben Kohen. And so now she's allowed to eat truma. Now, it's right, it's an oddity. Good. That curiosity is exactly what excites the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nimsa kochosho ben gadol mishal av. You know, in this particular case, the son is more powerful than the father. The father was unable to entitle the woman to eat truma, because again, the father didn't marry the woman. The father only had relations with the woman. So that's not king and kaspo legabe the father. So from the father's standpoint, she can't eat truma. But now that she had a son through this man, and that son obviously is a Ben Kohen or Bas Kohen, so now she's going to be entitled to eat truma via the child. Okay, that's interesting. The Mishnah notes that. Ha'eved posel mishum bia ve'ina posel mishum zera. As far as an eved is concerned, so an eved is going to posel bia, but not, it's not going to posel through zera. Now, what does that mean? The Mishnah spells it out. Ketzad. Bas Yisrael le'kohen, Bas Kohen le'Yisrael v'yaldei menu ben. So let's go over the following scenario, where either I have a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen or Bas Kohen married to Yisrael, either way, and they have a son, v'yaldei menu ben. So they have a son. And v'holech haben v'nichbash al shivcha. And then this son goes and has relations with a shivcha. Okay? Not allowed to. Meaning he shouldn't have done it. Okay? But he did. In other words, obviously we're just dealing with the results. We're not talking about over here the permissibility. In fact, it's not permissible. In fact, it's usser. Usser for a Jewish man to be with a non-Jewish woman, even if she is a shivcha kananis, that is an isser in the Torah. So, okay, but anyway, they have relations. And they have a child. They have a child, huh? Eved Ivri. But Eved Ivri is a Jew. Eved Ivri is, you know, is a Jew who's just indentured. But the V'yalda Himenu Ben, and now they have a son, Hare Ze Eved. So now, this son is going to be an Eved. So, meaning the status of an Eved. Meaning as far as a Shivcha Kananis and a Jew having a child, what's the status of that child? The child is a Shivcha. Or if the child is a boy, the child is an Eved Kanani. Meaning that here the father's contribution is totally disregarded halachically. Fine. Now, and as the Gemara is going to point out, that's a pasuk in the Torah. Meaning that's not a chiddush. Now, Haisa im aviv bas Yisrael lekohen lo socha b'truma. Now, if let's say for example the im aviv was a bas Yisrael married to a kohen, meaning. Before we move to this point of the Mishnah, yeah, let me try to make this even easier. Okay, if you're a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, okay, and you have a child, and it doesn't matter whether the child is a boy or a girl, it doesn't matter whether the child is a granddaughter or grandson, it doesn't matter. As long as you have a child from that union, you can eat truma. Okay, that child will be your link to your husband, even if he's no longer your husband, right? He's your late husband or he's your former husband. It doesn't matter. As long as you have a child from that union, you can go ahead and you can eat truma. That child will entitle you. And just to make this as clear as possible, even if that child is not a kohen, well, if your husband's a kohen, the child's going to be a kohen. So how can I be making any sense whatsoever? Your grandchild doesn't have to be a kohen. Meaning, if your husband's a kohen, that doesn't mean your grandchild's going to be a kohen. What could easily happen is that you'll have a daughter, and your daughter marries a Yisrael, and your grandchild will be Yisrael. But it doesn't matter. Meaning, it is now progeny that connects you with your husband, and as long as that child or grandchild exists, and even if that grandchild is not a kohen, as long as your former husband was a kohen, and you have progeny from him, so you can go ahead and eat truma. Okay. It also works in the other direction as well. Meaning, if, let's say, you're a bas kohen married to Yisrael. Now, if you have no children or grandchildren, so then you get to go back to your father's home and eat truma. However, if you have a child or grandchild, you don't go back home and eat truma. Okay, that is the basic halacha, which again, the Gemara is going to give us psukim, how we know that. That's the basic halacha. What we're learning now over here is the following nuanced point. It's nuanced, but hopefully I'll say it over clearly. And that is, If that grandchild that's connecting you is, let's say, an Eved Kenani, that Eved Kenani has no yichus status whatsoever, and therefore is not going to connect you. Okay? So that's what the Mishnah is trying to amplify. So the Mishnah's case is where, let's say, you are a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen. You had a son. Your son unfortunately decides to father a child with the Shifcha Kenanis. So now your grandchild is an Eved Kenani. So if, let's say, for whatever reason, you're no longer married to him, this Eved Kenani is not linking you to him. Why? Because there's no yichus by an Eved Kenani. And he will not link you to your former husband. We'll do this in the other direction. Just give me a moment. We'll do this in the other direction as well. Bas kohen liyisrael tocha b'truma. If you're a bas kohen liyisrael tocha b'truma. Meaning, so now you are a bas kohen and you're married to Yisrael. So again, while you're married, you can't eat truma. Now, let's say you have, again, same scenario. You have a son. The son decides to father a child with a Shifcha Kenanis. You have a grandson who's an Eved Kenani. And now, your only link, meaning your husband no longer is alive, and let's say the son is no longer alive, and your only link now to your late husband is this Eved Kenani. So that's not a link. Meaning, and now what you can do, despite the fact that you have a grandchild, from a Yisrael, but because that grandchild is an Eved Kenani, so now you can go back to your father's home and eat the truma of your father's home. Yes.
Is that child a kohen?
No, of course not. The child is nothing. The child's not Jewish.
Oh, it's not Jewish.
Not Jewish. The child is an Eved Kenani. So, okay. So that is, that's the point of the Mishnah. Mamzer posto machil. Now, as far as a mamzer is concerned, posto machil. Ketzad. Again, let's spell this out. So, Bas Yisrael, Kohen, Bas Kohen, Yisrael, once again, we're going to be starting with a perfectly legitimate union of either a Bas Kohen with Yisrael or a Bas Yisrael, Kohen. Again, it doesn't matter. Meaning, the conclusion, obviously, will go in two different directions. But the point is going to be the same point. V'yalda heim enu Bas, and they have a daughter. V'halcha habas v'nisis le'evet olo v'kochavim. And then this daughter, again, makes a poor decision, marrying either an Eved Kenani or an Ove Kochavim. Now, our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint that a child coming from an intermarriage of where the girl is Jewish and the boy is not Jewish or an Eved Kenani, so the child is a mamzer. Now, just as a reminder to everybody here, we litigated this already in our Masechta here in Yevamos, and our conclusion is the child is not a mamzer. Okay, but our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint that the child is a mamzer. So, obviously, within the Mishnah, the child is a mamzer. V'yaldeim en a ben, and they have a son. Harezem mamzer. So now the child is a mamzer. Okay, now. Haisa imim obas Yisrael lekohen tocha b'truma. So let's say the grandmother now of this mamzer is a bas Yisrael, but was married to a kohen. And again, the husband's no longer alive. Let's say it like that. It's nice and simple. The husband's no longer alive. And right now, her link to her husband is only this grandson who happens to be a mamzer. So does that qualify as a link? 100%. Yes. Okay. And it's an interesting dynamic where the Eved has no yichus whatsoever and does not create any kind of linkage. But the grandson who's a mamzer is in fact has yichus. Now, granted, by the way, he's going to be extraordinarily restricted in terms of who he can and cannot marry. But that doesn't matter. Meaning, as far as the Jew is concerned, he's 100% a Jew, and therefore he will link you to your late husband. And Bas Kohen Yisrael, lo tocha b'tshuma. And it works in the other direction as well. Meaning, let's say she's a Bas Kohen, and again, her grandson is a mamzer. Again, just go through the scenario we just did. And now, again, her husband's no longer alive, and the children are no longer alive, but she has a grandson, and the grandson is a mamzer. That mamzer now links her to her husband. In this case, it's going to disqualify her. Meaning, she's a Bas Kohen. Can she go back to her family to eat truma? No. Because she still now has a grandson, albeit he's a mamzer, it don't matter. She has a grandson now from her late husband, and even though he's a mamzer, that's going to be a posel. Okay. Kohen gadol pa'amim shu posel. Now, if you can follow, this can get absurd. But absurd, I don't mean absurd meaning wrong. I mean absurd meaning once you know the rules, you can have a Kohen gadol restricting his grandmother from eating truma. Now, that's a head scratcher. Right. But it works, meaning this case could work. And Ketzad, Bas Kohen LeYisrael. So let's go over the following scenario. You had a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael, V'yalda imenu Bas. And what happens is that they have a daughter, V'halcha, HaBas V'nisus a Kohen. Now this daughter marries a Kohen, V'yalda imenu Ben. And they have a son. And HaReizeh, Raelios Kohen Gadol. Not just any son, but now your grandson's the Kohen Gadol. Mazel tov, that's fantastic news. So omen mishamish gabe mizbeach, and the Mishnah over here gives real description of he's serving in the base of Mikdash. So machal is imo uposel emimo. So vis-a-vis his mother. So again, the mother is now the mother, proud mother to the Kohen Gadol. The mother can eat truma for the rest of her life, even if her husband is passed away. In other words, her son is a Kohen. But what about grandma? So he's going to restrict grandma from eating truma. What? Yeah, of course. Because grandma was a Bas Kohen. But who did grandma marry? Grandma married a Yisrael. So now her grandson, doesn't matter what he is. What is her grandson? A link to her late husband. And that link to her late husband, what was her late husband? A Yisrael. So as long as there's any linkage to her late husband, a Yisrael, she's going to be banned, barred, restricted from eating truma. So unbelievably, the Kohen Gadol is going to be restricting the grandmother from eating truma. And Zoso Meres Lo Kivni, a Kohen Gadol, Shul Posanim in a truma. And now, you want to talk about a complaint, right? This is a humble brag of the nth degree. You know, my darn grandson, nobody should have a grandson like mine. I know he's a Kohen Gadol, but he bans, he restricts me from eating truma. Okay, good. Okay, perfect. All right, Tanina. So here we are with the Gemara. The Gemara is just, I'm going to go through this quickly. It's a series of drushas. We have a really interesting sugya coming up. Anyway, Tanina Lahad Tana Rabbanan. So first thing of order, we're going to go over the first point of the Mishnah, and that is Shota Bekatan Shinisu Nashim Umesu Nishoseim. Umesu Nishoseim Petoros Menachalitza Menayibum. If you have a Shota or a Katan who gets married, it's not a marriage, meaning they don't have Das, it's not a marriage. They died, there's no mitzvah of Yibum, there's no Chalitza. Okay, next. Kate said, Hi Yisrael Shabbat Basi Kohen Tocha B'Truma, Ibra Lo Tocha, Kevin De Ibra Lo Tocha, Lecha Shema Ibra. So the Gemara says, okay, so if you have, unfortunately, a woman who was either violated or seduced by a man, and she's pregnant, so that pregnancy is going to ban her from eating truma, meaning our Bas Kohen, who was impregnated by a man, but not her husband, so during her pregnancy, she can't eat truma. And again, as we already described why, but she can't eat truma. Now, the Gemara says, all right, fine. Why don't we at least entertain the idea that maybe she's pregnant, meaning immediately after the act of intimacy, so there's a chance she's pregnant. So why are we saying that she's banned from eating truma only when we know she's pregnant? Why aren't we concerned, at least for the first 3 months? So Milo Tanan Mafrishin Osan Gimel Chadashim Shema Mubarasein. And hopefully you remember, go back to the Mishnah Daf Lama Gimel. The Mishnah over there went on to describe how you had husbands who, by mistake, ended up being with not their wife, but somebody else's wife. And so what we do is we separate them for 3 months in order to establish paternity. So the first approach of the Gemara is that, look, this concern of maybe you're pregnant, that's a chumra by yichus, but we're not going to be machmir by truma. The Gemara says, what? Ulatruma lo chashashu. You're not going to worry about truma. Vatanya reza gitech shachas konim lemisas yasur lechol b'truma miyad. Cohen gives a conditional get to his wife. He's going away, and he's giving a conditional get. This get should be effectuated one day before I die. So the moment he leaves, though, we're going to be concerned. And therefore, she can't eat truma the moment he leaves, because maybe the get would be activated. So you see that we are concerned. There is a chashash for truma. So elam harava baravuna. So the Gemara says, okay, so the concern of pregnancy is only when you think you're with your wife, meaning in the Mishnah, Lama Gimel, they thought they were with their wife, so they were interested in impregnating her, and she was interested in getting pregnant. That's why we worried about pregnancy. But over here, when a man seduces a woman or violates a woman, so she will literally do cartwheels in order to make sure that she doesn't get pregnant. So that's why over here by onus or pitui, we're not worried she's going to get pregnant. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Abbas Cohen, married to Yisrael, and her husband dies, so she can be tovel velchaz b'shumal erev. That night she can eat truma. Okay, meaning, all right, there's a number of points over here which I could clarify, but I'm going to go. Unfortunately, I'm going to go a little bit quicker over here. Anyway, the point is that we're not worried that she's pregnant. So, and it's her husband. It's her late husband. So, Amrav Chista, Tovaz Vochalas Ad Arbaim, Di'i Lo Me'abra, Halo Me'abra. So, the Gemara says like this, that after the death of her husband, meaning we're talking about Abbas Cohen, and she was married to a man, and Rechmanis, he died. So for 40 days post his death, so she can go ahead and eat Truma, because, look, what are our two possibilities? Either A, she's not pregnant, which means that she has every right to go back to her father's house to eat truma. And even if she is pregnant, we're talking about the first 40 days of pregnancy. And v'ima abra ad arba maya ba'amahi. Those first 40 days of pregnancy, so the fetus over there is a total non-entity. Maya ba'alma. I know this is very topical, and this happens to be a popular topic recently, but it happens to be a popular topic for the last, 3,300 years, and more so. Okay, so the Gemara says it a number of times. So here the Gemara says that for the first 40 days, maya ba'alma. Now, the Gemara is not talking about just dumb abortion. The Gemara is just simply talking about vis-a-vis her ability to eat truma. The Gemara is very focused in terms of discussing the status of a fetus, not legabe the fetus, but legabe other halachas. So over here, legabe truma for the first 40 days, even if she is pregnant, maya ba'alma. And that's not going to ban her from eating truma. So amalei abayi hachi emaseifa. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's move on. Huka ubra b'me'ata mukukal samafreya. Meanwhile, okay, so this woman who was married to a man, again, she's a Bas Cohen, she was married to Yisrael, and he died. So now she goes back to her family's house and she's eating truma. If later she discovers she's pregnant, meaning 3 months later she starts a show, mukukal samafreya. And Rashi explains what that means is that all that truma that she ate since the loss of her husband, that was, she was not in the right to eat that truma. Now, she wasn't doing this willfully. This wasn't mazed. This is what's called shogeg. She didn't know she was pregnant. And so, therefore, what happens when you eat truma b'shogeg? So, you have to make restitution. You have to pay back all that truma that you ate. Not only that, you have to also pay back a chomesh as well. You have to add on another 25% onto that which you ate. Anyway, so what you see over here is presumably even for the first 40 days, she's going to have to pay back. So the Gemara says, Maimu kukalas ad Abrahim. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to say. Abbas Cohen married to Yisrael, and then he dies. So 40 days after their last act of intimacy, she can eat truma because even if she is pregnant, maya ba'alma. From 40 days until, let's say, she starts showing 3 months later, if in fact she ate any truma during that interim, so that's considered achilas truma b'shogeg, meaning she didn't have the right to eat it, and therefore she's going to have to pay back Karen v'chomesh. Okay, ad kan. Takes us to the end of that first sugya of the Gemara, and let's continue. Itmar, habala rusas obeves chamav. Okay. The Gemara's discussion over here is really interesting. And again, I know I'm doing this too quickly, but, okay, let's go over some of the ground rules in order to understand, appreciate the Gemara upcoming. Marriage comes in two stages. We've done this numerous times. I know we all know this, but marriage comes in two stages. The first stage is Erusin, and the second stage is Nisuin. The stage of Erusin, so that's a kinyan. In other words, he acquires her. and either Kesef Sharo Bia. Now, and that after that first stage of marriage, they are married. It's not engagement. They're married. It's just that they don't live together. They're not intimate with one another, and he's not financially responsible to her until the Nisuin. Good. This is basic information. We've covered this numerous times. Nowadays, as we point out numerous times, nowadays the two parts of marriage are truncated into one ceremony. Meaning nowadays we do the Erusin and then a small break. Somebody's called up to read the Ksuva just to create a little bit of a pause, and then we go right to the Chuppah. Good. So, but back in the good old days, so these two were separated by a year. Now during Erusin, so can he have visitation? The answer is yes and no. Meaning he certainly can stop by and say hello to his wife, but he cannot be intimate with his wife. Now the nature of this prohibition, meaning it sounds strange, but the husband cannot be with his wife during Erusin. So that is, I'm going to say, like the conventional way to say it, that's a rabbinic prohibition. It's Asur Midrabbanan. The Rambam writes it clearly that this is a rabbinic Isser. Meaning after Erusin, even though that's your wife, but you can't be intimate with her. Midrabbanan. Okay. So now, those are all the basics, right? We said nothing right now that last point is, it's a standard way to say it. That's the way we're going to present it this morning. So now, Itmar. With all that stated, so watch now. This is going to be a really interesting discussion. So, Habal Arusa Sabeves Chamav. So, let's say the Arus has relations with his Arusa. He goes to his father-in-law's house, and there is his Arusa, and they're intimate, and they shouldn't have been, but they were, and she gets pregnant. So, now, what's the status of that child? So, Rav Amar Havlad Mamzer. So, according to Rav, the Vlad is a Mamzer. Now, wow. Right? In other words, what just happened over there? Huh? Right. Good. So good. So what's happening over there? So good. So right now, hopefully you're shocked. Good. It's a shocking position. We're going to explain it better in just a moment. Shmuel Amar Havla Shtuki. Now, Shmuel says the child is a Shtuki. Shtuki is a term that the Gemara uses a number of times. You're going to hear the term a lot in Kedushin, the fourth parak of Kedushin. Shtuki means that when you ask who the father is, so the mother says, be quiet. Meaning, it's unclear, right? I know, it's funny. But it's unclear who the father is. Okay, in other words, or let's put in halachic terminology. Safik mamzer. Okay, that's the Shita Shmuel. So, this position of Rav, we're focusing on Rav right now because Rav says something which is shocking. The child is a mamzer. You know how you produce a mamzer? In other words, that's if somebody else has relations with her. And now, that is a married woman having relations with another man. The child is a mamzer. Over here, it's the Arus having relations with her, and the child is a mamzer. How can that possibly be? Okay, so I'm a Rava. Wait, we need more information. We don't have enough yet to really process it. Okay, so we need more. I'm a Rava. Mistabra milsa de Rav de daime me ama. So this position of Rav only makes sense where this woman has got rumors and allegations circulating around her that she was with another man. So now we need more context over here. How could Rav possibly say that this child is a mamzer? Oh, it must be that Rav is only talking about a case where rumors are swirling around her. Then unfortunately, this woman is, she's a prutza. She's just simply with a bunch of men. But if there are no rumors about this woman, and it just happens to be that the Arus and Arus are acting inappropriately, that's not going to render the child a mamzer. And if without rumors, the child is not a mamzer. This is Rava's modification, clarification of the Shita of Rav. So I'm a Rava Menamin Allah Diktani, and Rava says, look, I know I'm right. How do I know that I'm right? Because consider, what did we learn in our Mishnah? Yalda Tochal. In our Mishnah, we're talking about a woman who was seduced, and she's a Bas Kohen. She was seduced. She got pregnant. Again, during the pregnancy, she can't eat truma. After the pregnancy is over, she can go back and she can eat truma. So, the Gemara says, now wait one second. If rumors are swirling about her being with other men, so why in the world would she be allowed to eat? In other words, that would mean that she's involved in prohibited unions. So the Gemara says, so it must be that who is the who is the father of that child? It's the man who seduced her or violated her. Now, in terms of ascribing paternity. So in our Mishnah's case, meaning no one was permitted to her, meaning the Kohen who violated her, or in the case of the Yisrael violated her. It wasn't her, it's not her husband, or even seduction. It wasn't her husband. She's prohibited to that man. So there, where? We are unsure of who the father is, but no rumors are swirling around her, and we assume that the man who seduced her, the man who violated her, is the father. So over here, hacha, de lahai yisur, lahai heter, lakol shekain, over here, where your options are, who is the father? Either the arus or somebody else. Of course we're going to say it's the arus, meaning it's her husband. Okay, so it stands to reason that if there are no rumors swirling about the woman, we'll assign paternity to the most likely candidate. In this case over here, the most likely candidate is the arus. So Amalei Abaye, so this is now Rav's modification of Rav. So Rav said that if an arus and arusa have relations, what they shouldn't have done, and she's pregnant, so Rav says the child is a mamzer. Rav says it only makes sense when there are rumors swirling around her that she's with other men. Otherwise, we're going to assume that the arus is the father. Okay. So Amalei Abaye La'olam Emelecha Kol Eichad Adam Yaminei Afagav Delo Adam Yameama Amar Rav Avlad Mamzer. So Abaye says to Rava, I don't agree. I think that Rav's position is the child is a mamzer, even without rumors. So my time Adarmina Mede Afka Nafshala Gabe Aris Afka Nafshala Alma. Oh, because this woman clearly is breaching the laws of modesty. Meaning, having relations with her husband, I know out of context, the sentence makes no sense, right? But having relations with her husband is totally immodest. Because again, they only went through the first stage of marriage. So once she shows that she's ready to engage in immodest behavior, and when I say immodest, by the way, I'm being really nice. Meaning, she's acting in a manner of a prutsa by being with her husband. So once she shows that she's ready to do that, so then she'll have relations with other men as well. And so that's why Rav would say that the child is a mamzer. Umas nisin. Now, what about our Mishnah? Where we're assuming in our Mishnah that we're going to assign paternity to the man who violated her, or seduced her. Umas nisin. Shayushneim chavushim meves asurim. The Mishnah's talking about where they were both incarcerated. And that's why we're assigning paternity to that one particular man. I know that sounds strange, by the way. In other words, the Mishnah gives no indication whatsoever that we're talking about a case of incarceration. But, in other words, that's how you'll explain the Mishnah. Okay, so that's all version number one. So again, in version number one, the Arus has relations with a Zarusa, and Rav says the child is a mamzer, and then a discussion between Rav and Abaye, like to what degree did Rav mean that? So, and Rava will tell you that Rav only meant that with rumors swirling around her, that she was with other men. And Abaye says, no, even if there were no rumors. Okay. That's all version number one. Version number two. When?
Just for
Erisin to part. No. There's a rabbinic prohibition. Again, go back to what I say in my introduction. There's a rabbinic prohibition for them to have relations. But that's it.
Okay,
let me think a little bit about that. Okay, I'm not sure.
Huh?
Ika de Amre. No, but Alan just simply means, in other words, once we're entertaining the idea that the child is a mamzer and there's another father, so that means that she was Mizana.
Right.
Right, that's what he meant. Okay. Let me think more. Okay. Igadamre bebala kule amalo pligi debasre di desha dinalai. So and in the second version of this entire discussion, now this is going to be a less radical formulation. Meaning the first formulation, the first version, right? Everyone here reacted, and good, and for good reason, because that first formulation was really that was harsh. Here in the second formulation, it's going to be tempered. And that is, bevala kolam lo pligi de basri di deshanin leiva hachi itmar. Now, if let's say the arus and the arusa have relations, and he's telling the world, I mean, I don't know why he's telling the world, but in other words, I took liberties and I had relations with my arusa, and you know, and it's so easy to justify in this case. It's my wife, I'm right? I understand. We have to wait till Nisuin. Okay, we elected not to wait. Okay. So under those circumstances, the child is kosher and the father is the father and there's nothing to talk about. So the hachid mar arusa sheibra, the irav amar avlad mamzer, v'shmol amar avlad shetuki. And now in the second version where, once again, Rav says the child is the mamzer, and Rav says that the, Rav says the child is the mamzer, and Shmuel says the child is a suffik mamzer. Amarava, Mr. Mil said to Rav, Delo dami minevi dami me'alma. No. This case over here, where Rav says the child is a mamzer, is that where there's no admission on their part that they had relations, the Arus and the Arusa, and furthermore, rumors were swirling that she was with other men. That's when Rav says that the child is a mamzer. And aval daima mine, afagav de daima mama, basri di desha dinle. But if let's say there were rumors going in both directions, rumors that she was with other men, rumors that she was with her arus, here in the second version, Rav will tell you that we're going to establish paternity after the arus. Basri di desha dinle. Amar Rav minami nala diktani al da tochal. Because once again, we go back to our Mishnah. After she gives birth, she can go in and she can eat truma. Hechidami ilam de damya mine velo damya me'ama tzrich lememer de techa. Meaning, if all we know is that she had relations with this one man, so I need the Mishnah now to tell me that she can go in and eat truma. Of course she can eat truma. Meaning that's not even a chiddush. So I love the damya nami me'ama. So it must be that the Mishnah is talking about a case where there were rumors about other men as well. Oma hasam de lahayisur lahayisur abasri didesha dinale. Now, in the case of the Mishnah where every one of these men are prohibited to her, meaning our Mishnah is not talking about a case of a husband, the Mishnah is talking about a case of a ma'anis or a mefate, and yet we're going to assume paternity goes after the ma'anis. So hacha de l'hayisur l'hayeter l'kol shekein. Here what we're talking about where one of the possible fathers happens to be her arus, so we're going to establish paternity after the arus. So Amalei Abai Lola Memlechal Klaecha De Dami Me'ama Afgav De Dami Minei Amarav Avlad Manzer Masisim Bedol Dami Klal. And Abai will counter and they'll say no. Once we have rumors regarding this woman that she's with an assortment of men, and even though one of those men happens to be our arus, but once we have such a woman like that, Rav would tell you we'll assume the child is a mamzer. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is where there are no rumors whatsoever. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so and it's a really important discussion. Legabe establishment of paternity and what happens when a woman is rachmanis, like a real unfortunate scenario. But what happens when a woman is just simply not behaving in a modest fashion? So what do we assume regarding paternity, regarding the status of the child? So it's a really important discussion. And I went through the Gemara too quickly, meaning there are two versions. In both versions, Rav says that the child is a mamzer. But within both versions, the context of Rav is shifted dramatically. And also there is two opinions within the sheet of Rav in both versions. Rav's understanding of Rav, Abai's understanding of Rav. So it is as way too quickly did I cover a really important discussion with a lot of halachic ramifications. And I apologize, but that's just simply the nature of the daf. Okay. However, postal mishum bia. Over here, just to finish up to the next perek. So just a couple of really quick and clear points. So my time, amakra, isha v'yalda atiya. So remember back in the mission, we said that if what links you to your late husband is a progeny, but it happens to be an eved kanani or shivcha kananis, so that's not yichus. Why? Because halachically, there's no connection. How do I know that? It's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah describes when the Eved Ivri is paired with a Shifcha Kananis. Parenthetically, by the way, an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry a Shifcha Kananis. Right? That's Psukim in the Torah. So when that happens and they have children, so who does the children belong to? Not the Eved Ivri. Belongs to the owner. Why? Because again, the child of a Shifcha Kananis is not yours. Okay. Mamzer posto machel tana rabbana vizerein la in li ela zera. Zera zara mi nain tamalom vizerein la mi kamakom. Okay, so in terms of Zera connecting you with your husband, so that's not only just a child, but it's a grandchild as well. So, Ainli Allah, Zera Kasher, Zera Pasel Minayin. I don't know about Zera Pasel, meaning like, for example, a mamzer. So, Tamalam Revizera Ain La, Ayain Allah. Zera Ain La, and what we'll do with the word Ain is we'll understand it to mean Ayain Allah. Meaning if there's any progeny whatsoever, even if it's not a kasher, even if it's a puzzle like a mamzer, it's still going to create connection. So vaha fikal zera zara. So the Gemara says, wait one second. You just double dip with that drasha. you darshan grandchild, and you darshan mamzer. So the Gemara says, zera zera lo itzter kra, b'nei banim hare in kebanim. So the Gemara says, zera zera, right, grandchildren being a connector, we knew that already. B'nei banim hare in kebanim. Grandchildren like children, right? We discussed that in the sixth perek regarding the mitzvah Puruvu, and now we're discussing in the seventh perek regarding linking you to your late husband. Meaning if what is linking you to your late husband is not a child but a grandchild, it's okay, that's a link. So, ki yitzarech kral lezera pasol. So once we already know that point, then I don't need a drasha for zera zera, for grandchildren. So now I use the drasha for pasol. Amalei reish lakas Rav Yochanan keman karebi kivadama yesh mamzer mechayve lavin. So the Gemara says, now we're talking about a mamzer, being your grandchild. Is that like the shita Rabbi Akiva? So the Gemara says, no. Afilu tem rabbanan. Bovekocham ve'evin modu. No, our Mishnah does not have to go like the Shita Rabbi Akiva. It could be going like the Chachamim, that there will be Tfisas Kedusha by Chayv Elavin, but the author of our Mishnah, I made this point when we read the Mishnah, but now we get to say it again. The Gemara is telling us. Our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint that a child, a result of intermarriage, the child is a mamzer. And even those who argue with Rabbi Akiva would agree to this point. Now, again, I'm going to say it again. We, la halacha, do not subscribe to this viewpoint, but our Mishnah does. Dechiyasa Rav Dimi, Am Rav Yitzchak, Rav Dimi, Mishum Rabbeinu, quoted b'shem Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, Ovekocham ve'ever, Abba Abbas Yisrael, Avlan Mamzer. So the child is a Mamzer. So our Mishnah is not relegated to the Shita Rabbi Akiva. It can even go beyond the Shita Rabbi Akiva. And Kohen Gadol Pamim Sheposel, Tan Rabbanan, and we finish off our Perek, Hareini Kaparas Ben Biti Kuza, Shema Achilena B'chuma, Vini Kaparas Ben Biti Kada, So over here, the Bryce is just an old expression, an expression that we never use, but an old expression that describes, you know, my little grandchild, that's the Kuza. My little grandchild, I like her. Why? Because she affords me the ability to eat Truma. And as Rashi points out over here, the little grandchild is referring to Rachmanis. You have a grandchild who's a mamzer. But in other words, but if your late husband was a Kohen, and that little grandchild now is linking you to your late husband, so good. Even though the grandchild is a mamzer, you now have the right, it affords you the right to eat truma. But if, let's say, for example, you have a kada, big jug, meaning in the context of this expression, it means, let's say your grandchild is a Kohen Gadol. But once again, you were a Bas Kohen, you were married to Yisrael, and now you have, let's say, this grandchild linking you to your late husband. But your late husband was Yisrael. And even though this grandchild is a kada, it's this big jug, i.e. the Kohen Gadol, don't matter. Meaning it's linking you now to your late husband. Your late husband was Yisrael. So that grandchild is going to restrict you from eating truma. Okay. We said this in the Mishnah. The Brice over here just has an expression that matches. Hajran lachamana, and that is the end of the seventh parak of the Masechta. Okay. And without much of a break, let's begin. We're starting now the eighth parak of the Masechta. And we are talking about Kohanim who are not allowed to eat truma. So again, one of the basic rights and privileges of a Kohen is that he's allowed to eat truma, however, with limits. Who can't eat truma? Ha'arel v'chol atmeim lo yochlu b'truma. So if you're a Kohen Arel, or if you're a Kohen Tamei, so you can't eat truma. However, nishem v'avdem yochlu b'truma. But your wife and your avadim are allowed to eat truma. Okay, so let's start off with an Arel. An Arel is a Kohen that did not get a bris milah. Rashi says, throughout Shas, right, this is like one of those like points of Rashi that you're going to hear again and again, even if you were justified in not getting a bris milah. Meaning, let's say you had Rachmanis, you had older brothers who died, machos milah. And so after two, as we already learned just a couple of days ago in the daf, about a week ago, right, Samach Dal, if I remember correctly. So the Gemara there said that already two times creates a chazakah, legabe milah, and so therefore by the third baby, you are absolutely exempt from getting a bris milah. Okay. But if you happen to be a Kohen, this is Rashi's understanding. You happen to be a Kohen, so it's going to be unfortunate, but not only do you not have a bris milah, but you're now going to be restricted from eating truma because you're an Arel. Okay. That's Rashi's understanding. Rabbeinu Tam, his grandson, disagrees with him. Okay. Well, I'm just out of consideration of time. I'm just presenting Rashi today. Not only that, a Tameh. So the Kohen is Tameh, exposed himself to Tuma, and so he can't eat truma as well. Now, we already knew that from day one of Shas, right? What did we learn? The first Mishnah in Brachos. So when can a Kohen eat Truma? only after he tovels in the mikvah and after Harav Shemesh. So then and only then is the Kohen allowed to eat truma, which means that a Tamei Kohen is not allowed to eat truma. We knew this already. But what the point of the Mishnah is that despite the fact that this Aral Kohen and this Tamei Kohen can't eat truma, but their wives can eat truma, and their avadim can eat truma. Right. Because their Kohen status is full Kohen status. For personal reasons, they can't eat truma. But they have full Kohen status, therefore, any of their kinyanim are allowed to eat truma. Good. Now, Psua Daku Kushavcha Hin Vavden Yochlu Veneshem Lo Yochlu. Now, if you have a Kohen who's either Psua Daka or Kushavcha. So Psua Daka is where the testicles are crushed. Kushavcha is where the member is somewhat dismembered. Okay, and we're going to get graphic in terms of describing it. Okay, V'im, and both of those Kohanim now are going to be banned and restricted from eating Truma. And furthermore, if in fact they have relations with their wives, their wives now are going to be a halala. Why? Because there's an iser in the Torah of lo yavo p'tzua daku kushavcha b'kal Hashem, that they're not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. And so a Jewish woman now having relations with such a man, so it will disqualify her. And that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Now, v'im lo yada mishanasa p'tzua daku kushavcha hare elu yochlu. Now, as far as the... Sorry, did I read the Mishnah? I think I did. P'tzua daku kushavcha hein va'avdehem yochlu. So their eved is allowed to eat truma, but nishem lo yochlu. But their wives are not allowed to eat truma, right? For the reasons I just described. However, v'im lo yadam mishnas p'tzua daku kushavcha hare elu yochlu. But let's say rachmanis, real rachmanis. So let's say that the man is married and he had an accident and he became either a kushavcha or p'tzua daka. And after his accident, him and his wife were never intimate, so she doesn't become disqualified. She can go ahead and she can eat truma. So that's the Mishnah. We dealt with four cases of the Mishnah. A Kohen Arel, a Kohen Tameh, a Kohen Psua Daka, and a Kohen Kurshavcha. Now the Ezu Psua Daka, Koshinif Psua Beitzim Shalov, Afilu Achas Mehem. Now as far as the definition of Psua Daka, either both of the Beitzim are crushed or even one of them is crushed. Kurshavcha, Koshinif Rasagid. Now, as far as the definition of a kurshavcha is concerned, kurshavcha is where the member is cut or severed, but that's only from the corona and up. Or if I could say it, let's see how good I am with my medical terminology. If we are from the corona and we're going to go proximal, right? That's towards the body. Shaft. The shaft and towards the body, it's proximal. Okay, yeah, good. Anywhere from the corona proximal to the body, so that is going to be kurshavcha. However, if we go distal, so there from the corona distal, so that is going to be that'll be fine. Meaning, that is not going to be considered kurshavcha. Okay, Tanya. Okay, we have a little bit more to go.
Does it matter which one as far as forbidden relations with the wife?
Right. In other words, no, the kurshavcha. So if it's from the corona towards the body, so he's going to be prohibited to her. And if it's from the corona distal, right, towards the end, so then he'll be permitted to her. Right, the way Rashi describes it, Rashi actually, in formulating this, so he says, Shenichos metar ve'elach kashada hasam bisra ba'amahu. So it's interesting, from the corona to the tip, so it's bisra ba'ama, meaning it does not have halachic significance. Okay? A flesh wound, if you will. Okay, fine. I know. I know. It's such a delicate topic. All right, Tanya. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Minayin la'aro she'en ochel b'truma. How do I know that an aro is not allowed to eat truma? Nemar tosha v'sachir, be'pesach v'nemar tosha v'sachir b'truma. Before I start with the b'raisa, right? Just the larger point and really appreciate what the Gemara is going to do now for the next daf. And we'll start it now, but we'll continue it tomorrow. And that is, the Aro can't eat truma. How do we know that? Meaning, read the Chumash cover to cover, right? And specifically, read last week's Parsha, where we learned about all the rules regarding a Kohen and truma. So, and I'm going to assure you, you will not get this information from the Chumash. Meaning, nowhere in the Chumash does it say that an Aro cannot eat truma. Okay, good. So now, once you know that, you're going to understand the struggle of the Gemara. Now, I say it's a struggle, by the way. We know the conclusion, meaning we learned the Mishnah. The conclusion is really clear. A Kohen does not have a bris milah, cannot eat truma. That's the conclusion. You walk out of today's daf, you know that. We know that. What the Gemara now is going to do in classic Gemara style is, how do I know that? Meaning, what's the drashos? Where do we have the indications in the Torah that this is so? Okay. And that's where we're beginning our discussion. And this is going to be over a daf discussion, covering the remainder of today's daf going into tomorrow. Okay, so, Tanya. Let's call it Rabbi Eliezer. You'll see why. So how do I know that an Aril cannot eat Truma? Nemar Tosha V'Sachar B'Pesach, because it says Tosha V'Sachar regarding Pesach, and Nemar Tosha V'Sachar B'Truma. Now, Tosha V'Sachar, those are references to an Eved. But to be clear, that's talking about an Eved Ivri. You'll see what I mean. So, Ma Tosha V'Sachar Amor B'Pesach Aril Aser Bo, Af Tosha V'Sachar Amor B'Truma Aril Aser Bo. So what we have now is classically a Gzera Shava. Tosha V'Sachar by Karban Pesach, Tosha V'Sachar by Truma. What do we know regarding Karban Pesach? If you're an Aril, you cannot eat Karban Pesach. Torah could not be clear about that point. So now what we're just going to do is we're going to take that halacha and move it over to Truma using the Gzera Shava. Rabbi Akiva Omrei no tzarech arei omrei ish ish l'rabbas ha'aral. Rabbi Akiva says no need because there's an allusion in the Parsha of Truma itself. What does it say? We just read yesterday in Shul. Ish ish mizera aron. And the double language ish ish is coming to include an aron. Okay. How does that work? Hold that thought. We're not going to answer that question today. But in other words, we're putting that on the back burner. Okay, we're going to go now and discuss for the remainder of today the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Mar. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Nemar Tosha V'Sachar B'Pesach, Nemar Tosha V'Sachar B'Truma, Ma Tosha V'Sachar Amar B'Pesach, Arel Aser Bo, Af Tosha V'Sachar Amar B'Truma, Arel Aser Bo. Okay, so first a repetition of Rabbi Eliezer. Now discussion. Mufne. You make a Gzera Shava. So you know the degrees of strength of a Gzera Shava? So, right, crash course. So if the words are extra in both places, that's called Mufne Mishnei Tzadim. That is a double bonded Gzera Shava, the likes of which it's unpenetrable. Now, if let's say only on one side of the Gzera Shava it's extra, superfluous, so it's Mufne Mitzad Echad. A pretty strong Gzera Shava, you could breach it. And then if both words on both sides of the Gzera Shava are Eino Mufne, if it's not extra, if it's not superfluous, if the Torah needed those words to make its point, so then it is not Mufne at all, and that's the weakest form of Gzera Shava. What we're looking for over here is a really strong Gzera Shava, what's called a Mufne. So Mufne Dila, Mufne Ikla Mifrech Mala Pesach Shekein Chayev Mala Mishum Pekel Nos V'Tameh. So the Gemara says, because if this is not a really strong Gzera Shava, how can you compare Pesach to Truma? By Pesach, a pigle, nos or tame, all the psulim of a carbon apply. They don't apply to truma. So this gzeres shava has got to be strong. So lai afnuyeh mufne. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's strong. So in other words, we have to make the argument of these words are not necessary. So the Gemara says, really, hi mufne. Eitu truma mitzvah srichi. By truma, it's absolutely necessary. Now, what's necessary is the Torah to teach me by truma that your tosha v'sachir cannot eat truma. Now, again, remember, this part's confusing. I'm going to say it as clearly as I can. You own an Eved Kenani, you the Kohen. You own an Eved Kenani, he can eat Truma because he's your Kenyan. What about an Eved Ivri? He can't eat Truma. But he works for you. Yeah, but you don't own him. Right? In other words, but he has to work for you for 6 years. Okay, that's true. But that's temporary. But what if he decided that he wants to get his ear pierced and he wants to work for you forever? You still don't own him. Okay, so by Truma, it's necessary for the Torah to tell me about Toshav Asachir. So, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. Detanya will enter the Brisa, Toshav Zekanu Kinyan Olam, Sachir Zekanu Kinyan Shanim. The Yomer Toshav Al Yomer Sachir. And now, why couldn't the Torah just simply say one? The Ani Omer, Kanu Kinyan Olam Eno Ochel, Kanu Kinyan Shanim, Lo Kol Shekain. If your Eved Ivri La'olam can't eat Truma, so then your Eved Ivri for 6 years for sure can't eat Truma. So Ilu Kena, Yisi Omer, the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you why the Torah couldn't stop by one. Because I would have said Toshav, because if the Torah just used the word Toshav, I would have said Zakanu Kinyan Shanim. Ava Kanu Kinyan Olam Ochel. If the Torah only used one term, Toshav, I would have said, yeah, you know which Eved Ivri can't eat Truma? Your 6 year Eved Ivri can't eat Truma. But if he opts in, so maybe he can eat Truma. So Basachir Valiman al Toshav Shafa Pisha Kanu Kinyan Olam Ein Ochel. That's why the Torah has to use both terms, to tell me that both Eved Ivrit can't eat Truma, the 6 year and even the 50 year. So, Ella de Pesach Mufne. So the Gemara says, right. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go to the other side of the Gzera Shava, the Toshav Asachir mentioned by Kerm Pesach. Hi, Toshav Asachir, Dekaz Rachman Pesach, my new name, Toshav Asachir, Mamish Mishum Davle, Toshav Asachir, Iftole Mi Pesach. So, Vakaimalan Gabi Chuma, Delo Achil, Alma, Lo Kanile Rabbe, Hachinami, Lo Kanile Rabbe. So the Gemara says, now, Toshav Asachir by Kerm Pesach, you're Eved Ivri. So what is the Torah coming to tell me? That he's exempt from eating Karm Pesach? There's no way he's exempt from eating Karm Pesach. Meaning the Torah didn't need to tell me that. Meaning he's obligated in Karm Pesach. Because you know what the Eved Ivri is? It's very simple. He's a Jew. Again, it happens to be that he currently right now is indentured to a particular person. But when all said and done, he's a full-fledged Jew with all the rights, privileges, and obligations of a Jew. So he has to eat Karm Pesach. So, and by Truma, so we already established that by Truma, if you're an Eved Ivri owned, I'm using the word owned loosely over here, owned by a Kohen, so you can't eat Truma. What does that mean? It means he doesn't own you. It means that you are a full-fledged Jew. Here too, by Karm Pesach, you're a full-fledged Jew. So, by the Tosha Vesacher reference by Karm Pesach, Mufne. So it's extra. So the Ella Lafnui Vakati Mufna Mitzadechad Hu Vishamin Lele Rabbi Elazar Damer Mufna Mitzadechad Lemedim Mashivan. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, but I'm still bothered. Why? It's Mufna Mitzadechad. It's not a double bonded Gzereshava, right? The strongest Gzereshava is when it's superfluous on both sides of the Gzereshava. And here, only on one side, on the Karm Pesach side, is a Mufna, but not on the Truma side. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Kevin de Lugufi, let's start with Shadichad Alamed, Vishadichad A Milamed, Vavalek Zereshava, Mufna Mishneit Sadim. And so, to which the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what over here? Here's what we'll do. We have two words. We have Gir and we have Toshav. Sorry. I'll do that again. I'll do it correctly. We have Toshav and we have Sachir. So, what I'll do is, since both of those words are extra, I'll take one of those words, not literally, but halachically, from a drush standpoint, I'll take one of those words and I'll bring it over to the other side, and now I'll have a double bond gzereshava. It sounds like a very creative maneuver. It is a very creative maneuver. But as you can see, Rashi over here, which we're not going to go through right now, so Rashi says that this is precedented. This happens a number of times. Rashi actually cites the other times that the Gemara does this. So it is a creative maneuver, but it's done. And so therefore, it is a double bonded, super strong gzereshava. And so, thank you. And via this gzereshava, that's how we know that an Aral is not allowed to eat truma. Okay, we're gonna pause over here. Quick recap of today's daf. So, number one, we talked about how a zera can go ahead and either entitle or prohibit his grandmother from eating truma. Okay, again, that is that's an oversimplification of what we discussed in the beginning of today's shir, but good. And even if that grandchild is a mamzer, still, if the grandchild is a shivcha or an eved kenani, so then there's no yichus, and that's not going to perpetuate, and that's not going to link you to your late husband. But any child or grandchild will, and either to be machal or to be postal, depending on what the circumstances are. On the bottom of Samach Tesamad Beis, a really, really important and complicated discussion regarding a woman acting inappropriately and assumptions made regarding the paternity of that child. And specifically, she had relations with her aris, which she shouldn't have done, but she did. And she has a child. What is the status of that child? Child a mamzer, child is a suffolk. Under what circumstances? Right? And whatever. It's a really important discussion, and it's complicated. Just two versions of the discussion. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Within the sheet of Rav, a discussion between Rav and Abaye, the context of Rav. Okay. Next, to finish up the perek, we just went through an assortment of drashas that established points of the Mishnah. We finished the seventh perek of the Masechta today, and then we started the eighth perek. In the eighth perek, Kohanim who cannot eat Truma, four examples given in our Mishnah, an Aral, a Tameh, a Krishavcha, and a Ptsua Daka. The Mishnah goes over basic definitions of a Krishavcha and a Ptsua Daka, and as far as an Aral Tameh concerned, we know that. Rashi Shita here and throughout Shas, an Aral is even where we had total legitimacy to be an Aral, i.e. your brothers died Machmas Mila, nevertheless, you are an Arul prohibited from eating Truma. That's Rashi Shita. And then the question, which it will continue into tomorrow, how do I know that an Arul can't eat Truma? A Kohen Arul cannot eat Truma. We had a Brisa, two drushas in the Brisa, and right now we're focusing on Rabbi Eliezer. It's a Gzera Shava. And so far with this morning, what we established is it is a strong Gzera Shava. Mufna Mishnei Tzadim.